Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, WKOK.com, SteveJonesShow.com.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. A lot going on again in today's show. Number phone line open today at 1-800-795-9565. Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Sweet 16 finally here.
It is finally here. The Lawrence 48-48 is a bit disturbing.
Should get an exclusive interview with him on that.
In fact, we could find out exclusively if he knows who's playing tonight. The Miami-Villanova game should be a really good game tonight down at the KFC Yum Center. We love the KFC Yum Center. I like to celebrate, I had a little KFC today. So. And that'll be game one tonight. That should be quite a game between those two teams. And then you've got the second game is Maryland against Kansas. And I think that's going to be a really good game. Maryland has all of the ingredients to be really, really good. And there's just something missing with them. There's something that's not quite, they're not quite in sync. Because any team that has Diamond Stone, Melo Trimble, Jake Layman, Rashid Suleiman, Robert Carter, and has Nickens and Dodd coming off the bench should be pretty good. And there are moments that Maryland has great flashes, and then there are moments where you sit there and they look confused. And I don't know why. But then again, I'm not 48-48 like Lawrence is. He's figured this whole thing out. You have to admire it, Sean.
This could be his retirement ticket right here. Write a book?
Absolutely.
Bracket busting for dummies? Possibilities are endless.
That sounds kind of cruel, actually. Yeah. That sounds kind of cruel. But I think we're starting to see a little bit of chalk, though, rise here. If you notice that in the West, you know, with all the upsets, have you noticed the West is the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds? And the last game tonight should be a great game tonight. If you can somehow stay up and watch it, Duke and Oregon out in Anaheim should be a great game tonight.
I think tonight's four-pack much better than tomorrow. Of course, everybody is waiting for Indiana, North Carolina as the finale tomorrow night. And, but yeah, don't sleep on tonight's games.
And on tomorrow's show, we will have a beat writer from Indiana and a beat writer from North Carolina on tomorrow's show. So, see, we have a lot going on and hooked in into a wide variety of places in these regions to get everybody up to date as to how it's played out. What are you doing, throwing stuff around there? What's going on?
No, I turned my mic in over my office. I heard you guys talking about me.
Hey, 48 for 48. I mean, how did you do this? This is just remarkable. I mean, you blew me away.
Well, I want you to know that I walk down the street and people come up to me and say, wow, Mark, how did you do that? That is amazing. You have gotten 36 games right in a row. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then, of course, I listened to your promo the next day that I still have a perfect bracket. Yes, I still have a perfect bracket on my desk, and it is blank. Sean put it there 2 weeks ago. It's still blank. I haven't filled in a single thing. The only thing perfect about it is it's completely untouched. So,
well, let me put it to you this way. It's better than that mess I filled out.
Yeah. I, you know, usually I just start to carry over number one seeds, and then when I get to Syracuse and Villanova, I make them go a little bit farther. So, and Syracuse is still okay, right?
Yeah. In fact, okay, I'd say tomorrow night they'd be favored to beat Gonzaga tomorrow night.
So I agree. And
there's a good chance they'll make the Elite Eight.
And I heard you talking about Villanova, so I know they're still in, but that is all I know.
Anyway, if you can't have fun doing these jobs and having a little bit of fun back and forth with friends, it really isn't worth showing up then, as far as I'm concerned.
We would drive each other crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and I knew if anybody in the planet would go to have a good little chuckle over it, it would have been you. So,
well, I know when you talk about it on your show, you probably hit half the people in the valley. But then when you promote it at 7:30 in the morning on my show, the rest of the valley hears about it. So, and I'm surprised at the number of people that don't have brackets and would even say, you know, what's he talking about? Do you really pick these? I'm like, no, I didn't pick any winners. You gotta be kidding me. But anyway, so, well, listen, have a great show.
Great.
I heard you talking about me.
What do you have coming up in tomorrow's show?
I don't get to do the On the Mark show. We'll have Ben Reichle, the conservative, on the show, and Than Mitchell, the liberal. And they're talking about a shirt that came out recently. Let's see. Here it is. Forever 21 is the company. And the shirt on the front of it said, don't say maybe if you want to say no. So it's prompted this big controversy in the company.
Oh, okay.
Right, the company pulled that. So that's, and on Sunrise, Movie Mike is on. He'll have his review of Miracles.
Batman versus Superman?
No,
Batman
Miracles from Superman? Heaven. No, I think he has
Miracles.
I haven't heard of
Miracles
seen
from
yet.
Well, Batman.
Okay, Miracles from Heaven is the Jennifer Garner movie.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
I believe that's a Jennifer Garner movie, and the story is that the daughter has something that is considered to be fatal, and they bring the daughter to obviously a place I know all too well, and that's Boston Children's Hospital. And they do whatever they can, but they finally go back home to Texas. And when they go back home to Texas, the little girl and her friend are playing up in a tree. And it's an older tree, and the branch that they're on snaps, and she falls to the ground. And she's cured, and it's a true story.
Wow.
And then the part that gets a little mysterious is the part where she says, well, he told me I was going to be okay. And then they start to explore what she means. And I have not seen the movie, but that's what I understand it's about.
Now, Steve, when was the last time you were in a movie theater?
Actually, my wife Kathy and I have gone to some movies lately. I saw Bridge of Spies. I saw Bridge of Spies was excellent. I saw Spectre. Crap, it's a great car chase. I mean, it's Bond.
Gosh. Well, you're a movie goer. I'm shocked.
And we just went and we saw the movie about the Centurion who did not believe in God, and then was there at Christ's crucifixion, and then eventually joins up with the 12 apostles. We did see that one. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh my gosh, you're a full blown movie goer. I'm
out of control here. Everybody just thinks I'm doing one game after another, but we do find time to have. And the movie you just talked about, I believe she wants to go see that. So I've got to say yes to some stuff here once in a while. That way, when it comes time for me to say, hey, I'm going to Vegas because I've got to work on two basketball games.
I think you just
a little easy.
You just described Sean's life. Say yes when you have to.
honey do.
All right, well, you get back to work. I'm sure you have actual sports to talk about, so enjoy the rest of your show. Keep up the good work. I just love listening to you.
Same to you, because I really enjoy the shows very much. Sunrise is terrific. And on top of that, you have now told everyone I actually go to movies.
So then now that'll be a new conversation starter for you.
Thanks. Mark Lawrence joining us from the office, no less. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. He has not taken a snap at a game in 15 months. Robert Griffin III is going to now sign up, and he signed a two-year deal to play with the Cleveland Browns. So let's take the positive spin on this. He hasn't taken a snap in 15 months. He's fresh. Okay. Look, it's an all-new deal for him. Hugh Jackson's a very good coach who works well with quarterbacks. I think it now brings into play what Cleveland is going to do with the number two overall pick. How are they going to play this out? Will they go straight up and go with a quarterback? Will they trade down? What will they do? But RG3 did sign his contract today with Cleveland. So it's a fresh start for him. And again, it's a two-year contract. So that's a big one. Penn State football, let's get to that. Yesterday, James Franklin had his press conference. Let's give you at least some initial impressions from the spring so far and get everybody up to date on that. They are now just past the quarter pole of this, and when they practice tomorrow at 4:30, that'll be practice 5, which means that is 1/3 of the way through spring practice. So what have we seen so far? To no one's surprise, I think right now, slightly ahead of quarterback, according to James Franklin, is Trace McSorley. I think Tommy Stevens has had a really good spring. He moves really well, has great size, runs well, and puts a lot on the football when he throws it. But Trace McSorley does all those same things, too. He just is not in a 6'3 frame like Tommy Stevens is. Just not. And that's the difference right there in terms of you're looking at the actual measurables of the two guys. The measurables of Stevens, you know, rock solid as a quarterback. A little bit shorter happens to be McSorley. But McSorley has a really good handle on this offense so far. And I think that they're pretty pleased with what he's done to this point. They're very pleased with what he's done to this point. But that's a good situation there. I think they both run it really well. Barkley's been Barkley, guys. Simple as that. I like Barkley. Always have. First time I've seen him, and Barkley's Barkley. He's just got that jump, that burst. Mark Allen has been good. But the third guy is Andre Robinson. out of the Harrisburg area. Andre Robinson is, of course, went to Bishop McDevitt. And he's dropped, Sean, 7 pounds. And it shows because he has a lot more jump in his style compared to what I saw last year. I felt he was the kind of guy that, okay, ran between the tackles, ran hard, showed some power, the whole deal. He'd get you 3, 4, 5 yards. And I watched this over and over again. I don't care whether it was on scout team or when they were doing the scrimmages. That's the kind of player he was last year. Now you watch him, 7 pounds lighter, a little more jump, hits that hole, gets through there, showing a little bit of speed. I'm impressed by what I'm seeing from him so far. The tight end part, Gesicki, you know, Mike's there. Mike's been doing what I always see Mike do in practice. And we all know Mike's going to have to do it in a game, but he's been all business. You know, Mike's got a great personality, but during the course of the winter program, he just kind of like kept to himself and just worked, which is good. Nick Bowers, I like. I think Nick Bowers is going to be a good player. Bowers excels in the weight room. Bowers looks good on the football field, not a bad receiver, throws himself in there, good blocker, waits where it should be. Bowers is going to be a real contributor for them at that tight end spot.
Overall, the players on offense, how are they doing digesting the new playbook with Joe, with Coach Moorhead?
They have no problem with it so far. And that's something that James Franklin pointed out to the team after the first practice when he spoke to them. He says, look, he said, we put a lot on your plate, and everybody is doing what you're supposed to do. So there are not many route or blocking mistakes so far in what they're doing, or decision mistakes. That's been a big plus. The wideouts are the wideouts. I mean, Godwin's concentration is second to none. You know, he's in that Allen Robinson, I think, Allen Robinson, Bobby Engram conversation. That's how good I think he is. And they're using Hamilton more in the slot. Blacknall's had a really good spring. Juwan Johnson's had a good spring. Brandon Polk has put on a little bit more weight, which is a big plus. You know, Polk added a little bit more mass, getting himself up near 170 now, and he's lightning quick. And Tompkins is having the best spring I've seen him have. Juwan Johnson and Irvin Charles are both really good. And then up front, the guy that is the bell cow up front is Andrew Nelson. He's been the best guy out there. Man's next to him, that helps. You got Gaia at center, and then you've got Derek Dowry and Paris Palmer. Palmer's where he should be weight-wise, which is really good. And I think now his body now is much more in sync with his weight. He's been able to keep it stable at 302 pounds, which is good. And then you get the other key is that you have some depth. You know, Laurent at center, Bates at guard, Sterling Jenkins is getting a longer look, Chance Sorrell is getting a longer look. So that's what you're seeing so far on that offense. There's a young player by the name of Connor McGovern that's going to get a good, long, hard look right now playing the center spot. So that's where they are offensively right now. We'll come back on the other side, talk about the defense and what we've seen from them so far. Because I think if you had to pick out one guy so far that catches your eye and says, okay, interesting, look how good he's playing. That's Kevin Givens. And by the way, I know people in Lewisburg are going to ask, what about Brandon Smith? Well, you know what? He has had himself an excellent spring. Brandon Smith has been running number 2 at middle linebacker and has had himself an excellent spring, including an interception yesterday.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we're back with you on the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. WKOK.com. By the way, yesterday we were talking on the show, Steve's broadcast partner, Dick Girardi, from the Penn State basketball broadcast, did a great story on Adam Fisher, who's now an assistant coach at the University of Miami. Of course, Miami will be in action tonight in March Madness, and he was a multi-year team manager for the Penn State basketball team. We posted a link to that story. You can read Dick Girardi's story. We have that posted on our Facebook, and we also linked that up on our Twitter feed as well, Steve Jones PSU, and also like us on Facebook, Steve Jones Show.
We have actually people that have been more and more jumping in on the old like deal here. This has been great.
Got to keep the momentum going. There's room for many, many more.
Oh, no. You want to get in? Just get in. We don't have a cap.
That's right.
Yeah, this isn't the NFL. We don't have a salary cap, man. You want to come in and like the page? You're in. We love you. Simple as that. And Dick wrote a great article on Fish. Adam Fisher, when he was here, his best buddy was Pete Bordy. And Pete, they were the co-head managers for 3 years. And Pete's gone on, and he's coached high school basketball. Well, Pete's dad, you probably know of. You know those new energy drinks, chocolate that looks like chocolate milk, strawberry milk, and so forth that they now have. That's Pete. That's Pete's dad. One of the great guys going. I said, "You want to retire?" He goes, "Yeah." And I asked Pete. It took him 13 years to develop that drink. You know that? 13 years. And now they have 3 different plants working on it, and they have thousands of orders. But those are some of the connections I find to be absolutely interesting. Let's see. The like part. Let's see. Who's liking the show here lately? Let's see. Al Michaels. No, I'm just kidding. What?
Why not?
Sure, why not? We want to thank Jan Hackett. Jan Hackett did that. Jack Hastings, appreciate that. Jack, very much. Like I said, we've had more. I mean, every time I turn around, my email comes up, there's another one. Hey, like the show. Great. Well, good. We're thrilled. Time now for this day in sports history, and we'll talk a little Penn State defense. Because we talk about the offense in the first half hour, talk defense in this half hour as to what they've done so far this spring. And the blue-white game will be in Beaver Stadium on the 16th of April at 2 o'clock. 1962, Benny the Kid Perrette was knocked into unconsciousness in a boxing match against Emil Griffith at Madison Square Garden. He died 10 days later. It was the first ever televised death in the ring. Tiny Archibald, 1973, first player in NBA history to lead the league in scoring and assists in the same season. Muhammad Ali, 1975, knocked out Chuck Wepner in the 15th round to retain the world heavyweight title. Now, why is that significant? Because that is the fight that inspired the movie Rocky. Chuck Wepner was known as the Bayonne Bleeder. He was from Bayonne, New Jersey. And the Bayonne Bleeder went in there in Cleveland that night and went all 15 rounds and was still standing when it was over with. And Sylvester Stallone saw that, and the movie Rocky was inspired by it. You didn't know that, did you? All right. Amazing learning experience on this show, isn't it?
I'm learning right along with everybody else.
Yeah, sure. Mario Lemieux, 1,000th career point this date in his 513th game, second fastest player to get to 1,000 points in his career. And in 2005, the NHL canceled its draft due to a 6-month player lockout. There's nothing to draft. All right, let's get to the defensive side in the spring. Kevin Givens has been a guy that everybody knows they needed guys to play tackle. So they took Kevin Givens and Curtis Cothran. They moved them both inside. Antoine White has been really good this spring. And that's no surprise. I think Antoine White's a guy I expected to come on and to do some good things and play better. You have to look at certain guys when you're going to make a move. Something like that. As to whether their frame can handle the extra weight. You have to look at them frame by frame and say, you know what, if I put more weight on him, it's going to be detrimental to him. If I could, look at his frame, you say, you know what, he can absolutely handle it. Kevin Givens is one of those guys whose frame can absolutely handle it. John Franco, his coach at Altoona, and John's no longer coaching Altoona, but he was his coach at Altoona. John and I are friends that go back 20 years. I have a lot of respect for John, and he really liked Kevin Givens coming out of high school, and he came out last year and was a defensive end. And Kevin has now moved inside, and he's taking that defensive end quickness, and it's translating for him at the defensive tackle spot. And White has been really good. And Robert Windsor's off to a good start. Cothran's right there in the mix. So, I mean, they're going to be okay at that spot. It's not going to be Johnson and Zettel, but they're okay at that spot when it's all said and done. And Ryan Monk is the fifth guy I'd throw in there, throw that name in there for you. At the defensive end spot, I think they're in pretty good shape. Evan Schwann, Garrett Sickles, Torrance Brown, Sharif Miller, not bad. And then Colin Castagna. Castagna is another guy that I really like. Now, we know that Kabinda, at middle linebacker, you know you don't have Bell and you don't have Wortman right now. You're going to get both Wortman and Bell back. That's not an issue. So you got Manny Bowen and Jay Cooper, and you got Kabinda. The fact is that Bell and Wortman, do they really need another spring practice? Probably not. There's certain guys, certain veterans that really don't need another spring practice that's really beneficial to get younger guys more reps. This is one of those cases. I mean, Joe used to just hold guys out. Be around, but you're not participating. Now, this is a little bit different. They're both coming up. You know, the other guy I should mention, Parker Cothran, isn't practicing right now, but he will be out there. Not in the spring, but he'll be out in the preseason. And so Wortman and Bell aren't out there. No surprise. That's fine. But that means Bowen and Cooper can get more reps, and it's really good for them. Now, the second group, that's where Brandon Smith is. Brandon Smith's had a really good spring practice. He's done really well. I think Brandon's going to be a guy that you're going to see show up on special teams repeatedly. Great attitude. I think he gets the most out of himself. And he's the kind of guy any football team loves having around. You know, because Vaughn Walker's the guy that's next to him. Brandon Smith's a lot like Vaughn Walker. Very much like him. And Jan Johnson's actually the other linebacker right now, the wrestler. You get to the secondary. You got Haley, John Reed, really good corners. Now you start to mix in Christian Campbell, Amani Oyoerie, and they're in good shape at the corner spots. I feel good about that. And a guy that's got some versatility, by the way, is a young player by the name of Garrett Taylor. Troy Miller has some versatility for him back there. And the safeties, Marcus Allen. Malik Golden's had a great spring. Apke's had a really good spring. Aaron Monroe. Monroe might have, you know, believe it or not, Aaron Monroe may be the most, among them, the more naturally talented safety among the group. And Monroe will be, I think he'll be, Monroe's going to be a good player for him. I think Garrett Taylor's going to be a good player for him back there, too. I think they're going to be fine. They have to build the depth, obviously, at linebacker. We know that. And then defensive tackle, I think what they have now is going to is works. It's going to work. Kicking part, Davis has been in. I think everyone has now seen that Joe Julius is still on the roster, but not out there. And so really it's Davis's deal, and then it's, you know, and Gula's out there, and Danny Pascarillo's out there. And they haven't really done a lot with returns. I mean, the only stuff they've done with returns are guys catching punts and guys catching kickoffs. That's been about it when it comes to that. And that's typical of what happens in any spring. So far, so good. Sean, I think that's the big part. So far, so good. I think that they're really doing things at a rapid pace out there. Rapid pace. So I hope that gives everybody at least a feel. If you have any questions, just call in with a question. I don't care if it's about a player, position, whatever. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. More than happy to answer any of your questions.
And with the new offensive coordinator during the practices, does the offense overall look faster?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it definitely. I mean, there's certainly a different pace to it. They're expected to play with a different pace. And I think that it's an offense that has a lot of versatility to it. But I think one of the more important things I've seen with that offense so far is that the offense fits the personnel. And I think that's the part that you look at. You know, how does it fit the personnel? Well, this offense fits the personnel. And I think that, above all, that's what I'm looking at. And they do go with a pretty good pace. And I think the two quarterbacks have thrown the ball really well so far. Really well. And both of them seem very comfortable throwing the football. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. By the way, we mentioned Mark Lawrence, perfect bracket so far. Sitting in second place with only one miss so far is Jennifer Wakeman. Really is an amazing staff. All right, let's bring in Doug from Wellsboro at 800-795-9565. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Steve. How have you been?
I'm doing very well. How have you been?
I'm pretty good. I have a question about Joe Moorhead's offense. I know in the past we've kind of made fun of Baylor's and Texas Tech's offense is like almost unwatchable. How is Moorhead's offense different than those two offenses?
Because they're not going consistently of 12 to 15 seconds a snap. You know, they want to get to the line of scrimmage, but there are times where they take their time at the line of scrimmage, Doug. So it's really different, and the type of pass plays they want to run slightly different, the type of running plays they run out of it slightly different. But this is there are moments in this offense where, on a 40-second play clock, they may take 30-35 seconds. And there are other times that they won't. It's a multi-tempo offense while Baylor is just 15 seconds go, 15 seconds go, 15 seconds go. And it drives me nuts watching that. I mean, Joe Moorhead knows that Jack Ham has to have some time to speak.
This is true. What's Lime Grover like? I really liked his offensive lines at Minnesota. You know, they were consistently able to run the ball, and I really liked that hire. What's he like?
I agree with you, Doug. I thought it was a great hire when I first saw it. I think it's an even better hire now that I watch him. He's a real pro's pro out there working with the offensive linemen. He's got more guys to work with, and that helps. But you know what? It didn't take long for him to walk into that room and get trust from his players. And I think what's also helped Matt Linegrover a lot is that Matt Limegrover is concentrating only on being an offensive line coach. He no longer has to be the offensive coordinator. I think it's really allowed him to lock in and just do this part of it. And I think it's been beneficial to the players, but I think it's also been beneficial to him.
What are they going to do with Miles Sanders?
What? Say that again. I'm sorry, Doug.
What are they going to do with Miles Sanders when he reports this summer?
I don't know. This one's a hard one for me to really talk about because I actually have never seen Miles Sanders do anything. So that'd be a better question that I'll probably be able to answer in August once I see how he is integrated into what they're doing. Right now, the three guys I'm watching are Saquon, Mark Allen, and Andre Robinson. So that's really what I'm looking at right now. What Sanders can and can't do, you ask me that question in August, and I'll give you an answer.
Okay. I'll call you back then, Steve. Thanks.
We'll call between now and then.
Yeah, don't wait till August. Come on, Doug.
Hey, this is not appointment radio, Doug.
Well, pencil me in for August. Come on.
You are absolutely penciled into August. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I'd like to point out it's an 800 number. You can call anytime.
Well, I missed my IndyCar talk. I'm having IndyCar talk withdrawal.
Don't
now.
Look at me, Doug. Oh. Don't look at me.
Hey, Doug, no problem. When it gets to the Indy 500, we'll talk a lot about the Indy 500. I know right now it's a tough time for you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Doug. 800-795-9565. That's a good question that Doug asked about, about Miles Sanders. We'll see when he gets here. I just don't know. There are some recruits, for example, I've seen along the way, I've seen them on TV, something, where I can give you a read as to what they do, don't do, so forth. I don't watch highlight tapes. And the reason I don't watch highlight tapes is that, for example, let's take basketball. Show me the missed shot on the highlight tape. That's why it's called a highlight tape. That's what's interesting about the four Penn State basketball recruits. I've seen all four of them play. And I have a pretty good read on what each one can and can't do at this stage of their careers. Football's a little bit different. There are some times where three, four guys in a recruiting class. I'm like, okay, fine. And get a read on them. And then there are times where I haven't seen any of them. And this is one of those times I haven't seen any of them. But when August rolls around, I'll see all of them. And then we'll find out what they want to do, because obviously it appears on paper that he is one heck of a prospect. Everybody wanted him. There's got to be a reason for it. And I'm anxious to see what he can get out there and do myself. I'll say this, Barkley looks really good. So far, so good there. They're going to have some depth at running back, which will help.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to rush right in right away. That's a great luxury to have.
And you know what, Sean? I thought Doug made another really good point. What's the difference between this and Baylor's offense? There are absolute differences. This is not, I don't feel like I'm, just because they're doing things at a quicker pace and coming, get back to the huddle, quick pace, get back to the line of scrimmage, quick pace. That doesn't mean every play is snapped like that. And let me give you a good example on that. In Indianapolis with the Colts, Peyton Manning for years ran a no-huddle offense. Now, normally the image of a no-huddle offense is what, Sean? Get up there, make a call, snap the ball, and go, right? How many times did you see Peyton Manning, though, in that no-huddle offense not get the ball snapped until 2-3 seconds left in the play clock? So it was a no-huddle offense in the fact that they weren't huddling, but it wasn't a hurry-up, fast-paced offense. This is an offense that's got some multiple tempos to it, and there are times where they get multiple tempo to the point where they get to the line of scrimmage quickly, but then they don't snap it right away either.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
CBS News. I'm Jim Taylor.
Belgium suffering slings and arrows of criticism today. Here's CBS's Vicky Barker reporting from Brussels.
A second day of...